Good morning. Good morning. I'm Nancy Barrow, and this is the Beat of Connecticut on Hot 93.7, hot93.7.com. I know a few people who have multiple sclerosis, and I've met someone doing this show that I have followed and talked to and lived through her trial and tribulations, ups and downs with MS, but she refuses to stop. You refuse to stop. It's Hello. Marisa Bouassa. Welcome back to the Beat of Connecticut. So nice to have you back.
I love coming back because it means I did what I said I was going to do.
If you don't know Marisa, let's update everybody. So I met you a while back and you came in and we were talking about your MS and you said, you know, I have a goal and I want to do this marathon and that was my goal. Were you here in the summer? You were here in the summer.
I was here in the summer.
Yeah.
It was before my first race.
Right. So let's talk about that because you trained for it.
Yeah.
What happened? Tell me what's going on, Marisa.
All right. First race.
Yeah.
I went in there thinking I was going to do everything, right? I'm like, look at me. I'm back. I'm in Simsbury. I'm going to do this first 5K. And then my legs kind of gave out towards the end, which was something that I've had to work towards.
And you kind of, weren't you sort of saying, I hope it doesn't happen, but it could happen.
Yes, because I had done everything, like all these different types of methods. So my point is that I ended up getting two people who I knew that helped me to the finish line. Like basically they were like the arms. They're the trekking poles that you see me running with today.
Right. That's how you train,
really. That's how I train.
Right?
Right, because my body fatigues. So they kind of keep me up. The legs keep me forward.
Yep.
AFOs. My point is that I placed 5K division winner for challenge athlete.
That's so great.
I didn't know that. 2 months later, they're like, do you want your medal? I'm like, for what?
Did you think that was a failure for you? Or how did you look at it at that point? Like, because, you know, I know that you get mad at your legs sometimes.
Yes. At that moment, I ate a piece of pie with a bunch of women that I didn't even know. And
oh, I
said,
that.
MS does not mean stop. And I had my pie in the sky that day. Did I feel it was a failure? Yeah. At the moment, I was mad.
Yeah. Yeah.
I had people chanting, MS does not mean stop, because my legs were failing me.
So how long did you train for? Let's talk about that. How long did you train?
For the 5K, that was in June. I started in, January?
Okay.
So 6 months.
Yeah.
6 months.
That's crazy.
Legs, bike, swim, run.
Wow.
Reprogramming, neuroplasticity, 5 a.m.
And were you in the pool too?
Yes. I'm in the pool with an aqua jogger.
That's crazy. So is that one of the things that helps you stay in shape and get and be able to run and not have your legs fatigue?
It is, because when I'm in the pool, I'm running like I used to run.
Yeah.
Free.
Isn't that weird?
It's weird. It's exciting. I mean, I actually have a wireless headset. I'm listening. You generally listen to the morning crew as I'm in the pool, by the way.
I love you for that.
Going back
Marisa.
And forth for an hour.
Oh, my goodness.
So thank you for being there for me on those early morning
runs. Yeah, we're here early. We appreciate you even thinking about us at that point. Okay, so the 5K comes and goes, and then I knew that you were going to be doing a marathon. That was what you were really going for.
I was. And there was a bunch of stuff in between. So there's the 5K, the 10K, the half, the full. I used them as benchmarks.
Okay.
But yeah, half marathon was Hartford.
Yeah, okay.
That was in October. And then you had the Philly full, which was not even 3 weeks ago. I have my medal next
I know.
To Spartan.
I love this. I love that you have your medals.
Can I like just do the little...
Yeah,
the,
jingle.
The Philadelphia Bell. I did Spartan the day before because I can't be a normal person.
No.
I have to do Spartan.
What is it do you feel about you that you challenge yourself like that? You know, you don't let MS stop you, like you said. What is it?
Moving is a pace. As long as I'm moving, I'm pacing myself every day. Every day I'm in a race for life.
Mm-hmm.
And every day I'm racing against the time that I don't know how long I'll have my legs. Nobody knows how long they have. We've seen it, sadly.
We were just talking about Denise DeCenzo from WFSB. We were just talking about Juice WRLD. It's been one heck of a time. You know, these people have gone way too young. Nothing's guaranteed. So for people who don't know Marisa, let's talk about how you found out about your MS.
It was August of 2018. I actually reunited with the UConn doctors, Dr. Alessi, Dr. Hall, Dr. Edgar. I actually gave them my medal. I gave them my first UConn medal because it was the UConn race in Simsbury. It was since,
Oh, that's amazing. So what was going on that it was so difficult to find a diagnosis for you?
To be honest with you, I think at the end of the day, it was I was healthy.
Yeah.
I was a certain weight. I was strong.
Yeah.
And yet I kept falling. And And it was UConn that took that step and said, okay, we need to do some true diagnostics and really understand what's wrong with you.
Yeah.
And I'm always going to be grateful. They listen to me. Sadly, in our community, women especially, we don't always get heard. So you have to keep asking. And sometimes you think, oh my gosh, do they think I'm crazy? No.
Because they say a lot of things like, oh, it's just you're emotional.
Yeah, they do. But they didn't.
Which is great.
But I also told them, I said, you're one of the best. You're leaders for sports medicine. It's your job to figure out what's wrong with me. And
yeah.
They did.
Was it a blood test or how did they find out? Like, how do you find out that you have MS? Is it a simple blood test?
No, I wish. Yeah. That would make so much life easier.
Yeah.
No, it is a brain and spinal. So I had my brain scan first by them, which showed that I had lesions. And then I had the spinal from the MS Center, Mandela MS Center. I go and see Dr. Wade there. And that's how we were able to say, yeah, you definitely have MS.
And so they can tell on your spine? That's what they can tell?
By lesions.
Lesions on your spine.
And not everyone who has MS has lesions in their brain. And not everyone who has MS has lesions in their spine. I'm the lucky fool that gets them in both.
And that's why your brain can't tell your feet to do what they're doing.
Right. And then I went to NIH, which is in D.C. I just came back from last week.
Oh, yeah.
I was there, and they showed that I had 10 or more. I said, why did you stop at 10? They said, we kind of stop at 10. So there's 10 or more of these lesions, the scar tissue throughout my brain and my spine.
And there's no reversal, and there's no treatment? Or is there treatment? Can anything be reversed or no?
Well, nothing can be reversed because there's scar tissue. But one of the things I asked NIH is, what do you have? They said, well, we can rebuild myelin.
Okay.
But there's a drug that I have to continue another 6 months being their lab rat chronicles. But I do Ocrevus. And I mean, I'm not on air to tell people what medicine, but I do Ocrevus. It works for me.
That's one that we had talked about last time that you said you were working, that has worked for you.
There's something else that's working.
What else?
Because if you notice, I'm not wearing my AFOs.
I was surprised. You're just wearing cute little boots.
I know. I like my cute boots.
I like your cute boots, too.
Botox. I get Botox injections in my legs. I know. I'm going to have the best legs.
They're never going to age.
Never.
You're not going to have any. So, okay. So Botox, I would think it's supposed to numb and paralyze, right?
Right. And it helps with muscle spasticity. So when I was interviewing with you last time, you didn't see it, but over here, my leg kind of kept twitching. And that's this constant. Yeah. And then, of course, obviously that fatigues the leg. And obviously at the end of the day, all it does is create that, you know, leg drop. That foot drop, that issue. So that is part of that comprehensive health at the MS Center. I'm able to go to a physiatrist there, got the Botox. I had my second treatment. I had the week I did Philadelphia and Spartan, that Monday, I had my Ocrevus and I had my Botox.
And that really helps you.
Totally. I was able to conquer both of those in one weekend.
Is the Botox a new thing?
I don't know that it's new, but it's been very helpful, especially to the MS community for a period of time now.
That's amazing.
Yeah. And it helps with that. I was having chronic, like I would run and my legs would be so tight. It was just, it was like a ball of pain in my legs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I get that. It's so amazing to me that they're still trying to perfect the drugs and what you can do.
There's even a drug when I was in D.C., they talked about drugs that they're giving people that have rheumatoid arthritis, like an antihistamine type drug that they feel that can help the MS community when it comes to myelin regeneration.
I find it amazing that they can even say that there's regeneration now, like, because that was one of the big problems. It's like once the sheath is compromised and it's hard for it to regenerate.
Well, and that's the thing. And so there's a lot of people out there, even in the public eye, they're doing some of this crazy stuff. And I call it crazy because some of it I feel can be very harmful. And so my best approach is meet with your neurologist, find out what's best for you. You know, Ocrevus is infusion therapy. Yes, it's a derivative of a chemotherapy.
My friend is doing the same one. Yeah. Yeah. And she gets tired with it, but she's okay.
Yes. You know, so people always mention another person out there in the media and they're doing this and that. I'm like, you got to do what's best for you.
Yeah.
I want to live.
Yeah.
I don't want to die.
Right.
So do what's best for you and your body.
Does multiple sclerosis, do you have that possibility like of dying?
You can die from a complication of something completely separate. So MS doesn't kill you, but MS does compromise your immune system. So that's
right, I get other things,
you know, so you have to be careful.
You scare me. I don't like talking like that.
Because I'm not dying. Only the good die young and I'm bad to the bone.
Maurice. Oh my God. This is why I love her, because of your fighting spirit. That's what I love you. So I know that you want to talk about girl power.
We
were talking about the center that you go to.
Yes. The Mandela MS Center.
Yep.
So that is something that originated from Andy and Joyce Mandel. But I want to talk about Mrs. Mandel for a second.
Okay.
Because she's a philanthropist. I met her at an MS event about a month ago.
Okay.
She's amazing. And one of the things that I have her quoted in here, it says, "We fell in love with a lifestyle of community involvement." That's powerful.
Yeah, that is powerful.
You know.
I think a lot of people forget that they have to get involved.
And her husband got MS, and they helped build this comprehensive health center together so that I don't have to go here or there or everywhere. That's huge.
Yeah.
And
there's just one center place.
One center place, which is under Mount Sinai Rehab, which is part of Trinity Health.
Yeah.
It's a great comprehensive center. But in that center, because we got to talk about girl power.
Yeah.
We got another girl. And that's Dr. Mary Bailey. She's beautiful. She's amazing. She's a graduate of Yale University. But one thing that I love is it says that she's authored and co-authored peer-reviewed articles and other publications on MS. So she's a leader, too.
This is like her passion,
yes,
really.
Right. And she's, many of my friends do go to her. I go to Dr. Wade, but I know in conversations that I've had with her, she's very much part of that movement, right?
Yeah.
You know, along with so many other women in our community here. You know, Lisa Gerald, president of MS Society, Hartford chapter. I have to call her out again. I did last time. Abby Downing. She is the person at Hanger Clinic. You know, I'm at Hanger Clinic.
Yep.
Patient ambassador.
Yes.
She worked with me to get those beautiful orange AFOs.
They're really cool. I have to say, when I see you training in them, they're pretty bad. They're pretty bad. And what are they? Because a lot of people are going, what is she talking about? Yeah, what's an AFO?
Ankle foot orthotic. So what it does is it sits underneath, basically in the sole. So not the bottom of the shoe,
yep,
but in the sole of the shoe. It helps with that leg and foot drop because it kind of positions the foot upward a bit. And it helps me so that I can be more mobile and have to not face that awful foot drop on a constant basis.
So after Philadelphia, after you finished like a full marathon, like now, what do you even have to go after? What is your next thing that you want to go after?
I'm in the process of it right now.
And what is that?
Book.
Okay, so you didn't tell me about that.
Books.
Like you were supposed to tell me that, like when you first walked in here, like, oh, Nance, I'm going to write a book.
Yeah. I have an agent and everything.
When did that brainchild come to you?
I was with UConn when I went for my reunion, my 1 year anniversary with them. And Dr. Hall said, I'm gonna get a copy of your book, right? And I said, do you really think I should write a book? And he said, Marisa, you did neuroplasticity. You retrained your body to walk and run again.
So what is neuroplasticity?
So neuroplasticity, I'm going to do it in my most educated way without hitting Google on this.
Okay,
one.
Okay.
But what it basically is doing is I'm reprogramming my legs. So when you see me doing single leg drills on the bike.
Yeah.
See me running and you see me in the water. What I'm doing is I'm sending triggers. The body will do what the mind wants. So by doing that constant motion over and over again, I'm training my body to continue to move forward.
And is your brain telling you to do that as well? So it's, you're sort of bypassing?
Mm-hmm. Yes, because there's not a connection.
That synapse, yeah.
Yes.
It's amazing that you can do that.
Mm-hmm. But it's all together, right? So you've got the infusion therapy, I've got the Botox. I also take a medication and I'm not going to say it online.
Yeah.
I do take something that helps me with my fatigue. At the end of the day, you have to continue to work closely with your doctors.
How is your family dealing with all this? Like, I mean, they know who you are, obviously, so you're nonstop.
My family wants me to always remember to pray, to stay close to my faith. They want me to sleep more.
Yeah, I would like you to sleep more. I need to sleep more. I really do try to get sleep because it's really not healthy not to sleep. You know?
It's not.
It's not healthy to sleep. So do you get a certain amount of sleep? Because like Buck only needs 3 hours, which I think is so unhealthy and terrible. You get four.
I played Sleepy Kitty. Remember that Big Bang Theory?
Yeah.
Warm Kitty, Sleepy
Yeah.
Kitty. It doesn't work.
It doesn't work.
Rock Sheep doesn't work.
So do you find that faith has helped you through all this? Because I feel like that is a guiding light sometimes, you know, when you're going through some hardship.
It has to. You know, one of my friends sent me something that made me take a step back. And they said, you give out hope like you give out candy. I need some candy. Faith, my friends, someone on Facebook, I didn't even know, I forgot who she was. Not forget her, it's been many years since I was in high school. But she wrote something about me, and this is what I want to bring it up. Her name is Claire. I'm going to say it really quick. She said, Maurice is an inspiration. I had seen snippets of her fight for mobility. And she went on to say, I knew this girl in middle school with a big smile who would grow up to be such an inspiration. So first of all, I don't think I'm an inspiration. I think I'm stubborn. But when she said, I remembered her for her big smile. What we have in between the birth and our death, to me, that someone says they remembered me for my smile.
Yes, beautiful.
That I need to continue.
Yeah.
And all the crazy things that go with it.
Well, I saw something, Humans for Hoka. What is that you're doing? Because I loved the video, first of all. So I was like, what is she doing now? Like, that's what I kind of like shake my head. And I'm like, what is she doing on... Because you are a force on social media. That's one thing I have to say. You are. But, and I love you for it. But what is Humans for HOKA? What is that? What are you doing?
So Humans for HOKA, when I first came, I hadn't been nominated, but I did get nominated to be a part of, you know, that individual that takes what they have and they continue to move forward. But what happened was, is I ended up getting nominated for their commercial and I ended up being in their commercial.
Yeah, you were.
I had a whole film crew.
You so did. That was so really, really cool.
I felt so cool.
Did you feel cool?
I did. I was like,
yeah,
I felt like Nancy Barrow.
No, hardly. I don't have a film crew.
We do. Yeah, we do have
a morning crew, but that is it's different than the crew you had. So what was the purpose of it? Tell me what that is.
The purpose was just to kind of show what I've done, but one of the things is I told them,
yeah,
I got a little deeper.
How did you get nominated?
Steph Blosey from Fleet Feet West Hartford and Fernanda Jacobs. So thank you, Steph.
Wow.
Fleet Feet West Hartford is the best.
Yeah.
And I'm not just saying that because they're awesome. But yeah, so they nominated me. I got it. And I remember when I was filming with them, I said, did you ever have somebody with MS? And they said, we've had a blind runner, but we've never actually filmed someone that had a mobility issue. So I'm running through West Hartford. I'm running, you know, in the reservoir. I mean, did I tire myself out before the half? Yes. Was it worth it? Yes. But I said to them, you need to see MS. MS is multiple stuff, right?
Yeah.
They needed to see how the body can flatline. They needed to see me get to that finish line. Someone watch that video, and hopefully if they watched it, they signed up for something, whatever.
And I feel like there's an inspiration in what you are, like your friend from high school did say you're an inspiration, because I feel like some people can be limited by what they have. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Some people can limit themselves and say, oh, I shouldn't do that because, you know, that could hurt me. That could be bad for me. But I feel like you're limitless. Like, you just don't limit yourself. There's nothing that you can't do. Like, there's nothing.
No, because I went to the legislative office after Hartford.
Okay, so what has happened with the legislative office now?
Girl, go in Congress.
Why did you go to Congress? What was your point and what happened?
So, as you and I have talked about, I'm a diversity and inclusion manager. I'm a leader within disability programs.
I did not know that.
I didn't have that when I came, until I, now I work.
Okay, so I didn't know that until today.
Sorry, hi.
Yeah.
But I love this because I work for a chief officer, directly for her. I call her the chief.
So diversity and inclusion. So yes. You try to help people who also have disabilities.
Mine is specific to disability. So I actually built a disability recruitment toolkit.
Wow.
So when people go for an interview, you know, do they need an accommodation? If you go to a hotel, what does a hotel ask you? Do you need assistance?
Yeah.
Why aren't we doing that when we interview people? Why aren't we doing that within our workforce? If somebody works for you and they need an accommodation, let's bring it into the race community.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Because I did a trail run and there was no accommodation. And I did it and I finished. I mean, I did quote a lot of different things, you know. But my point is, I did that. I went to one of the senators and he's going to submit the bill in February.
Wow. And so it's an inclusion?
Yes. It is basically affording a reasonable accommodation for an athlete, a challenge athlete specifically, to have up to 1 hour head start.
So to even the playing field,
yes.
Really.
Yes.
And to give you a chance.
To give you a chance.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm running on legs. I always tell people, if your foot falls asleep, right?
Yeah.
Run on it for 26 miles.
Yeah. First of all, I did my marathon. It was not pretty. And I started to cry at mile 23. And that's when people started giving me beer and chocolate in San Diego. They really did, because I started to cry. I lost two toenails. It's grueling.
It is grueling.
There's not many people who finish a marathon.
No.
That's a special place. And then when you drive 26.2 mm-hmm. miles, I'm like, did I really run that far?
No.
What was I thinking?
All right, I got to call out this person. Well, Greg Schroeder.
Okay.
Greg is an AMPT coach. I was at mile 26. I had my head started and all the accommodations in Philly. Literally was like, I'm done. And there's a guy on a bike who's with me. You can do it. But my legs were like, no. And I looked up and he said, Marisa, finish. And he kept going. At the end of the day, we have to encourage people to finish what they start.
You know, sometimes your body won't let you do that.
Yeah.
I mean, you could see like athletes who aren't challenged mm-hmm. fall down, mm-hmm. can't cross. They crawl across the finish line.
Mm-hmm.
And for someone who has, I don't even want to call yours a disability. I mean, you know, I don't know what to call MS.
It's just VIP. I'm like, I got a VIP pass for special parking. I'm just a very important position.
Silly.
I'm in a very important position.
You're very silly. But this is great that you're making mm-hmm. strides for athletes who need some help, a little bit of help.
I meet the commissioner in January.
Is there a name for the bill?
Fight for Mobility.
Of course it is, because mm-hmm. that's your saying.
You don't know tomorrow.
It's
not promised. When that person wrote what they said, they remembered my smile. I want somebody to say, I knew this girl, and she didn't give up, and she ran with trekking poles and AFOs, but she set up a bill for me so that I have a chance when I get on that start line. Or I knew a girl that worked for a company that set up a toolkit so that I had a chance for an interview and a hire and when I work.
And who cares if you start an hour ahead of people? Like, who really cares?
Who cares? Or in your job. You might need an accommodation. I want to know that I left behind something in this world.
Well, that's powerful, especially around the holidays. Thank you very much for that. I think that people need to think about that.
Yeah.
You know, some people just can just get so caught up in themselves that when they see someone with a disability, they don't even say anything because they don't want to look at them.
Like the woman in the elevator. I showed you that picture. I'm going to give it to you.
Yeah. Tell me about that story.
So I was in D.C. for National Organization of Disability. I'm trying to get on the elevator. And this woman's trying to get off. And this man is trying to get on. And she's trying to get off. She was in a wheelchair. So NOD, National Organization, took a picture the next day of her coming up to me. And she said, thank you. And what it was is I told the gentleman, we'll call him a gentleman. I said, could you exercise a level of patience and let her off the elevator?
Good for you. Not many people speak up, and I think more people need to speak up.
They do. She said, people don't see me. She's in a wheelchair. She's a little person. She's amazing. I said, she said, people don't see me. You saw me. I've never forgotten that word. People don't always see me either.
Really? Do you feel that way?
Oh, yeah. I think all of us sometimes feel invisible.
We can at certain times, but I feel like you have such a big presence about you. It's hard to forget you. It really is. That's why I had you on again. And so what's coming up? What can we expect from you besides the book? Like, are you really going to start writing it soon?
Oh, I've already written it.
Like the whole book you've already written?
I did 5 chapters, but now we're going to kind of revamp it, look into the workbook. The book was about neuroplasticity. You know what ended up being? I actually found out who I was meant to be.
By getting some legislation passed? Is that more important to you than anything else that you've accomplished?
I found out when I wrote the book that it wasn't about relearning how to run and walk again as a challenge athlete. I learned how to live my best life again.
Oh, see?
That's what the book's
about.
How
do you live your best life? That's the question for 2020, the new decade coming in. How do you live your best life?
That's the book. Because everything I had a year ago, it's not there. I mean, there's a lot of changes that have happened in my personal life and my professional life. I had to learn who I was. And once you learn who you are, you can move forward.
Yeah.
But you have to face it. You have to face the good and the bad, and then you have to move forward. And that's what the book's about.
I can't wait to read this.
I'll get you a signed copy.
How can people follow you?
Well, I love having Marisimo, but I was told I need to go to Marisa Bosa. So if you go to MarisaBosa, you can find me on Instagram if you want crazy stories, especially me hijacking the morning crew this morning.
Yeah, it's so great. She's so funny.
Facebook, Twitter, Fight for Mobility, the YouTube channel.
Okay. And I can't wait to see what's next.
Thank you, girl.
You're
a fighter too.
And happy holidays to you.
Yes.
Yes. Enjoy. And please get a little more than 4 hours of sleep. Just saying.
That's my resolution.
That
5 hours.
5 hours would be more is good.
All right.
One more is good. I'm Nancy Barrow. This is Be Connecticut on Hot 93.7, hot93.7.com. Have a great Sunday.